encouraged by how God is working. I'm not sure if that's going to... Had a look. If you would turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 15, where Pastor Matt read from just a short while ago. Very simple message for a Sunday evening, but not without emphasising some important truths from it, and which I trust the Lord's working will be beneficial for us this evening. I've titled the message tonight, The Condition of the Heart, The Condition of Your Heart, The Condition of My Heart, The Condition of Our Heart. I appreciate the Gospel of Luke. Luke's writing, if you like, is when you compare with the other Gospels, he takes a somewhat distinctive approach. And he shows what, in his time, was an uncommon interest in individuals. And that's a Christ-like character, wouldn't you agree? There's many things in the Gospel of Luke that point to just individuals. And it's a reminder, as it was for me as I was studying and preparing for this message, that Christ is not interested in so much the crowds and the fanfare and all of that, but he's interested primarily in the individual. And I'm also reminded that Christ came, left the heavenlies and came into this world because he was burdened for the individual. He was burdened for people. And I appreciate that Luke, with his distinctive approach, was led of the Holy Spirit to record for us just how burdened Christ was for his people, that they may get right, that they may come to a saving knowledge of him. And so the theme of Luke's gospel is Christ, the Son of Man, and it highlights, of course, many of the events that demonstrated, if you like, Christ's humanity. Our text tonight picks up right in the thick of Christ's earthly ministry, where he's predominantly being rejected by men. However, in spite of this, Luke records Christ's, if you like, steadfastness as he teaches. Christ was in chapters 12 to 19 of Luke. It outlines Christ's teaching ministry and giving instruction. In all of this, being rejected of men, he was mostly being rejected of men, and he, in spite of this, continued to stay steadfast and gave instruction or taught to his disciples or to individuals as he came across their path. And so here in chapter 15, we see where our text is, Christ is teaching concerning God's love for sinners. And so let's just read the whole chapter here, chapter 15. I know Pastor Matt has read a portion of it, which I asked him to. But to better put us in the context, I guess, or in the picture of what's happening here, again, it's probably very familiar to you, but let's just read the entire chapter of chapter 15. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. So straight away we know Christ is up against it. He's in the thick of the crowds of Pharisees and scribes, and they're, murmuring and probably thinking that they're much better than he, and saying to one another, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Verse 3 says, And he spake this parable unto them. This is the first of three parables, consecutive parables. Verse 4, verse 3, he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? I just want to pause and just say, while we're reading this, just remember what was said, that Christ his burden for the individual, okay? And I think this really comes out in these parables as you read it. Okay, so already in verse 4 we can see this. A man who loses a sheep and doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it. Verse 5, and when he hath found it, he layeth on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbours, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Verse 8, second parable, what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she had found it, she called her friends and her neighbours together, saying, rejoice with me, for I found the piece which I had lost. Now, you know, I have to admit, when I first read these verses, I'm thinking, well, that's a bit of an overcooking it, isn't it? You know, a piece of silver. We'll find it. We're going to call our neighbours and friends. And we're going to have a time of celebration. But I remember the time where Kerry lost her engagement ring. She took it off her finger, and this was some time ago. She took it off her finger and she put it on the bench to clean it or something like that. Anyway, she lost it. She couldn't find it. And she was quite beside herself. I mean, emotional. She's not here tonight, so I can, you know, tell you. But, it's a recording anyway. She got quite emotional and she just wouldn't settle until, you know, we searched everywhere. Dana can relate to this through the week, you know, looking for keys, sorry. But anyway, so I thought, you know, well, look, maybe it fell off in the car, you know. She said, oh, don't be silly, wouldn't do that. I said, look, I'll just go out and have a look. And so I had a look on the floor of the car, and praise the Lord, there was this shiny ring. And so I took it in, and I was pretty smug, you know. It's one I didn't trip over the step of the door going in, and I said, oh, is this what you're looking for? And there was a time of rejoicing. The best hug I ever got. When something means a lot to you, of course, you lose it and you find it. And then, of course, there is a cause for celebration. Such is what we're reading here. A woman who, having 10 pieces of silver, lost one, finds it. There's cause for celebration. In verse 10, it says, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now that really puts it in context, doesn't it? There's joy in the presence of the angels angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Then we get to the parable that we're looking at tonight. In verse 11, he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the youngest son gathered all together and took his journey afar into a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And when he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine or pigs. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks of that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough to spare and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and he came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his eldest son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh unto the house and heard music and dancing, and he called for one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said unto his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, a goat, I'm assuming, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, and hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. And certainly his older brother there still had a lesson to learn, who was basically, if you like, right up there with the Pharisees, full of self-righteousness, I believe, had a lesson to learn. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer before we go any further. Father, we just want to thank you tonight for the opportunity to come and to, Lord, just sit under the preaching of your word. We pray, dear Lord, that you would meet with us now. Father, people have come here tonight. People have needs. And we recognize that you are the only one that can meet our needs. So, Father, simply use me as a messenger tonight. But may your Holy Spirit do the work, and may you receive the glory for it. We trust, Lord, that with this simple message tonight, we may be encouraged, and Lord, that we may be encouraged to look into our hearts and to see how we stand with you. And if there be any area in our life, Lord, that you may show us tonight that we need to get right, then Lord, help us to humble ourselves and to get right with you. I pray these things, Lord, in the Saviour's name. Amen. One man once said that the condition of your heart determines the direction of your life. Let me say that again. The condition of your heart determines the direction of your life. Now, you can either walk toward the Lord Jesus Christ in eternal life, or you can choose to walk away from him into eternal death. You can choose to walk with him, or you can choose to walk away from him. It's an important and most serious thinking point, isn't it? The condition of your heart determines the direction of your life. In the parable that we read just now, that last parable there in Luke chapter 15, the parable of the prodigal son, the character descriptions that were highlighted in that parable could simply represent each of us, or any of us. We could be living a sinful lifestyle like the younger brother, and be self-righteous and unforgiving like the older brother, or have a merciful heart like the father in the parable. Now, our text, as I pointed out, was the last of three consecutive parables that Jesus spoke to the Pharisees in response to their grumbling against him, against Christ, for his mercy towards sinners. We see that in the first couple of verses of chapter 15. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and the sinners for to hear him, and the Pharisees and the scribes, what did they do? They were murmuring. They murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Each one of these parables dealt with something that was lost. The first parable dealt with what was lost. Anyone know? A sheep. A sheep. Second one, a coin. And then the third one, of course, a son. A son. And I wanted to primarily focus on that last parable tonight, the parable of the prodigal son. And I want us to just go through it and see or glean a few things from it that may be encouraging to us. The first thing I want us to notice is the downward steps of the prodigal son. The downward steps of the prodigal son. I want us to see three things here. The prodigal son had a desire, he made a decision, and that determined his departure. And I want us just to think about that for a second. See, your desire determines your decision, which sets your departure. Let's make a couple of very obvious examples. My desire is to go on a cruise ship holiday. All right, now I've heard some terrible things about cruise ship holidays, and I don't really have a desire, but say it is my desire to go on a cruise ship holiday. That desire will cause me to make a decision that when the opportunity is right, the opportunity comes up, that either I can take some annual leave, or there's a cruise that it's appealing to Kerry and myself, and it's at the right price, and the time's right, that then I will make that decision to go on a cruise ship holiday, of course. And making that decision will cause me to what? Set the departure date. So I've had a desire which caused me to make a decision which then causes me to set the departure. Let's bring it more closer to our hearts. The backslidden Christian desiring to get away from maybe attending regular church services. And see it again, desire, decision, departure. If your desire is to get out of church, then that is going to cause you to make a decision that at that time when you have that little opening, that little opportunity to go, will set your departure. So I want us now just to keep that in mind and see how now we see the downward steps of the prodigal son. See, he had a desire which caused him to make a decision to set a departure. Okay, so the desire of the prodigal son, this young man's heart, of course, was filled with a desire for what? For freedom. For freedom. He'd begun to view his life in his father's house as restrictive. Therefore, he asked his father for his share of the estate, his inheritance, if you like. And despite the fact of that inheritance, that inheritance was normally received after death, his father, for one reason or another, complied with his son's request and gave him his portion of the estate. So there was the desire. The young man was looking for freedom, and he made that desire known. And it caused him to make a decision, because shortly thereafter, the son decided to leave home to pursue his desires totally unhindered. And of course, one of Satan's goals is to convince us that having our own way and leaving God's restrictions behind is the beginning of real life. Young people, you're going to face this crossroad very soon. And that's why it's essential that you flood your mind with the Word of God, renewing your mind so that you can be transformed in your mind, so that when you get to these crossroads, your desires will be right desires, which will cause you to make right decisions and right departures. Wherever the Lord leads. He may want you never to depart to be here, but His will might be to lead you anywhere. And when that time comes, you'll have the desire which will cause you to make the right decision, which will cause you to make the right departure. But this wasn't the case of the prodigal son. He had the desire, he made the decision, and of course then we read he makes the departure. The son went away to a far country and we see that. Now, for our purposes, we can consider a far country as anywhere we choose to go outside God's will. Now, it could be a block away, or it could be across the globe, because this is speaking not about primarily an individual, but it's speaking about the condition of our heart, not the location of our bodies. But the fact is, the devil stirs up unhappiness by pointing out what we're missing. Ever seen that? All right. The devil will always point out unhappiness, or stir up unhappiness by pointing out what we're missing. We always think we're missing out when we can't do what the world does. Now, no matter how mature you are as a Christian, I think we all come to that crossroad in our lives that when Satan is permitted to tempt us, or just to put in front of us something that we so-called desire, we always think that we're missing out by being Christians. We're missing out. And I think that's a lot of the things that this happens a lot of the time when people come so close to making a decision to come to Christ. The devil, of course, puts the cost in front of them, and they begin to count that cost and begin to think, well, no way, the world has got such a better lifestyle than me fully surrendering and giving my life to Christ. But here was the son, and he had made a departure to go into a far country. And of course, the devil is deceptive, and we'll see about that very shortly. But the son here, with plenty of money to fuel his desires, sets off to enjoy the pleasures of sin. In a far country, there would be no one to hold him accountable, so he thought. And so he could do whatever he pleased. He thought he'd arrived. This is living. Ever heard that saying? But what, of course, do the scriptures say? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it's appointed for man to die once, but after this comes, of course, what is it? The judgment. See, God's attributes, what are they? All-knowing, some of them, we won't go through them all, but all-knowing, ever-present. He sees everything and will one day hold each person accountable. So here's the thing, the son in his sinful state, he desired, he made a decision, and he set the departure. And because of his sinful state, he was lured into walking down the broad path, or the wide path, if you like, which of course then becoming easy prey for the enemy to devour him. Pretty much putty in the devil's hands was this son. Deceived, he became a wanderer till at last he was found in need or in a wanting state. And we'll see that shortly. As I mentioned before, sin, the devil, deceives. When we're in a vulnerable state, when we're not walking right with the Lord, or even before we've come to a saving knowledge of the Lord, we're not in a right state of mind to make righteous decisions, to make decisions that are going to be beneficial for us. And I want to maybe just point back now and just zoom in on predominantly speaking to a crowd here tonight that I believe knows the Lord. I trust that you do. And I want to just focus in on our relationship with the Lord, which is what we titled this message tonight, okay? The condition of your heart. What is the condition of your heart tonight? And how is it affecting your relationship with God? Are you allowing the devil to deceive you into thinking that things are okay when possibly they're quite not okay? I want you to see the dangers here of walking away from the Lord. I want you to see the dangers here of being separated from the Lord, allowing sin to be a wedge that comes between you and the Lord. And as soon as that happens, and you come to this time where you have to make decisions, it's like the floodgates will open wide and the devil will deceive you, and you'll have to make decisions which are going to have detrimental effects on your life. Your desires will become worldly, which will affect your decisions, which will affect where you end up. Deception. We need to realize that sin deceives. It's one of the very natures of sin is deception. Deception. All right, the others being that sin disappoints, and lastly, sin disables. I want to just focus on this for a second. Sin deceives. What are the other natures of sin? Disappoints and disables. So sin deceives, sin disappoints, and sin disables. Look at the example of the prodigal son. He probably had so much potential. And I'm sure if the story goes on, after he does come home to his father, and if he gets right with the Lord and he gives his life to the Lord, I'm sure the Lord would unlock the full potential that this young man has. Yet he found himself deceived by the devil. And what did I say the natures were? Deceived, disappointed, and disabled. He was a young man that was probably full of potential. He was a young man that had gifts and talents locked up inside him, just waiting to be unlocked and used of the Lord. And yet because of his sinful state of mind, he's allowed the devil to deceive him. Did it bring about happiness? Momentarily, temporarily. But it ultimately brought about disappointment. And finally, it disabled him from being used of the Lord. We read in the other Gospels of the rich young man, who was probably quite a moral, upstanding citizen, again, full of potential, educated, probably bright. Yet when he comes to the crossroad of giving his life to the Lord, the devil again deceives him, caused him to count the cost, and what happened? He went away sad, because he did not want to sell his goods and take up the cross and follow Christ. And this is what sin does. When we allow sin into our lives, it deceives us. And we fall into this deception, and our mind state becomes causes us to be put into vulnerable situations, because we're not right. We're not mentally right, if you like, to make decisions that are going to bring glory to the Lord. In fact, we're going to make decisions that are going to feed our heart. And what are our hearts? They're desperately wicked. All right, they're full of sin. And so we're going to allow the world to come into us, and we're going to try and justify these decisions, and we're going to go out into the world just as the prodigal son did. And what happens? Did it bring him happiness? Did it bring him contentment? No. It brought about him unnecessary destruction and heartache upon him, upon his family, and upon obviously friends that were concerned for him. And this is the very thing that happens when we allow us ourselves to enter into the same state of mind. And so I just want to encourage you tonight to look into your heart. How is your heart condition with the Lord this evening? See, the fact is, if we keep sinning while we're telling ourselves that God loves us and understands, then of course we've been deceived. Are you there tonight? Are you there trying to justify your sin before God? John 1:8 says that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And so the prodigal son fell for the devil's lies without considering the consequences that would inevitably follow. He squandered all the money with loose living, as we read in there in verse 13, and life looked good for the moment. But what does he find himself? He finds himself becoming a wanderer, wanting more. The novelty wears off where he is, and so he wants more. And so what happens? He begins to look for other areas of worldliness that will bring about enjoyment. And this is the problem that he was facing. And this is a problem that individuals face when we live for our own pleasures, is that soon the novelty wears thin. The enjoyment that we once experienced diminishes, and as we discover that sin's satisfaction is temporary. We soon discover that sin's satisfaction is temporary. In an attempt to regain the pleasure, we may wander from one experience to the next, only to discover that there's no lasting pleasure in sin. What's the scripture, somebody help me, that's sin is but for a season? Is that does anyone know what that is? That there's a bit of homework for us all, isn't it? Sin is temporary, isn't it? The pleasure of this world, is for about a season, I think it is. We'll have to find it another time, maybe after the service. So the man becomes, the son, sorry, becomes deceived. He becomes a wanderer looking for more worldly experiences to enjoy. And then he becomes wanting. The young man soon found that not only was his satisfaction diminishing, but his funds were also dried up. And following his desires, he realized that it had left him bankrupt and friendless. And to make matters worse, a famine came into the land, causing food to dry up. A famine coming to the land causing a famine. That's pretty smart, isn't it? You're allowed to correct me, it's all good. But the point, of course, is that Satan never reveals the outcome of following his temptations, because his goal, of course, is what? It's his goal's to destroy and ruin people. His pathway to pleasure is littered with broken homes. His pathway to pleasure is littered with broken lives. His pathway to pleasure is littered with the bodies of those who believed him and who have fallen for his deceptive ways. And so in desperation, we see the prodigal son went and got a job with one of the citizens of that country, and found himself in the lowest place a Jewish man could end up, in a pig pen, feeding pigs. And he was so hungry that even the slops that he gave to the pigs started to look appealing to him. And I want us just to think for a moment. You know, sometimes it takes the grimmest of circumstances to open our blinded eyes. No matter how many people may have warned this man of the dangers of heading down this path, he couldn't see the foolishness of his choices until he came to the end of the road. And that's when the young man came to his senses and thought, as we read, how many of my father's hired men are, they're not going hungry tonight. They've got leftovers. My father's servants. They've got full bellies, but here am I dying here with hunger. And so we see that the path of pleasure, which eventually leads to desperation, has been taken by many people who've rejected the warnings given by family and friends. And like the prodigal son, they find themselves in what? In so-called pig pens, deprived of resources and dignity. How could something that looks so good in the beginning turn so bad? And of course, it's always that way when God is left out of the picture and people walk away from him. However, no matter how far someone has gone from the Lord and how deep he or she has fallen, God never stops loving and seeking that one. Whether that person is lost, whether that person has just walked away from the Lord in a backslidden manner, God doesn't give up on that person. He may allow all sorts of things to come into that one's life to try and bring them to their knees, but he never stops loving them, and he never stops, I don't believe, seeking them. And so the young man makes a decision. See, here's a transition point in this parable. Notice the change of condition and the mindset that results in a far better desire, decision, and departure. See, after coming to his senses, the prodigal son decided to go back to his father, full of shame, yes, full of guilt, yes. He planned his confession and he left for home. What's his desire now? Not the world. His desire is to get back to his father, to make things right. What was the decision? I'm going to make things right. And it caused him to depart with haste, to go back. Not without shame, not without guilt, not without the scars of sin, unnecessary from the beginning, but thankfully he's now in a better mind state, and he makes a far better decision. Broken, yet making a far better decision. And of course, this is the only solution for anyone who wants to come home to the Lord. The feelings of shame and guilt and conviction are quite possibly a result of the Holy Spirit's work as he draws each one back to the Heavenly Father. But praise God, he's willing to forgive everyone who comes to him in humble repentance, confessing their sin, relying on the blood of Christ for cleansing, and if the need be, receiving him as Saviour by faith and surrendering themselves to him as Lord. And just as the prodigal son was welcomed home by his father, so God will welcome all who come to him for restoration, so God will welcome all who come to him for salvation. There was no reluctance on the Father's part to embrace his Son, to clothe his Son, and to celebrate his homecoming. And this is exactly how the Lord God welcomes all who come to him, even those who have made a mess of their lives. There's nothing to lose, but of course there's everything to gain. So I wonder tonight, as we conclude, what is the condition of your heart today? One way to determine this is to examine the path that you're taking. Are you drawing closer to God, or are you running away from him? As you said at the start of the message, the condition of your heart determines the direction of your life. I wonder this evening if you could just look into your heart right now and determine, are you drawing closer to God, or are you running away from him? What is the desire of your heart tonight? God knows. While you sit here, and while you're listening, he knows your very thoughts. He knows your intentions. He knows your desires. I wondered, by this simple message here tonight, is it enough warning for us to remain steadfast, to remain in a right relationship with God? Can we see the importance of remaining in a right relationship with God? Because the moment we don't, sin drives that wedge between us and we separate ourselves and we find ourselves in a vulnerable condition, position. And mark my words, the devil will, his desire is to devour you, to destroy you. He doesn't love you. He has no mercy. It's not a character of the devil. When you're down, he just wants to kick you down further. He wants to choke you until you cannot breathe anymore. He wants to destroy you, and he'll do it any way that he possibly can. And he knows if there's a wanderer, if there's one who is separated from Christ, who's in a vulnerable condition, then that's his chance. And do you know that if you're in that vulnerable condition or in that vulnerable position, that you're in no state to make a right decision? Because the desires of your heart will take priority. I wonder tonight, is this simple parable enough warning for us just to stop, pause and consider and realize the importance of a right relationship with God? Am I going to be a right father to my children? Am I going to be a right husband to my wife? Am I going to be an example, a leader that God so desires me to be in my home? A testimony to others around me. I'm only going to be that if I maintain a right relationship with God. Because if I don't, the desires of my heart will take priority. And that sinful desire will want me to get into an unrestrictive condition. And to get that, it's just like the prodigal son. He bolted, he ran, thinking that he was about to live his life. Do you realize that the boundaries that the Word of God set around our lives are there for our protection? We so often look at the Word of God as a rule book, a bunch of rules. And if you're like me, sometimes in a down, burnt out, depressed condition, walking away from God, those rules, so-called rules, become oppressive. And you seek to find some relief. And you think, well, that's it, I'm out. Done with church, I'm going. As a teenager, even in this church, I fear how many times I drove out of this driveway for the last time. That was going to be it. No more. No more for me. I'm done. Why? Because I was in a vulnerable condition. And I was going to go out into the world and I was going to live a life that was according to my will. No one was going to tell me how to live, and no one was going to tell me what to do. And I wasn't going to waste my time giving to charity and serving the Lord, and not for me. Was I saved? Yeah, I believe I was, because the Holy Spirit eventually convicted my heart and showed me the need to get right, just as he did the prodigal son. Wasn't without suffering, wasn't without pain, wasn't without humility, swallowing my pride, that I came back and gave my life to the Lord. All that unnecessary heartache and pain. And I wonder tonight, as I've asked already a couple of times, would this simple passage be enough to ignite the warning in your heart, the importance of maintaining a right relationship with him? Are your decisions going to be right decisions? Are your desires God's desires? Is your desire for his will over your will? It all starts with a right relationship with him. But tonight, if you've realized or the Lord has shown you a need, don't justify it. Don't shun it away. Get right with the Lord. Just as the prodigal son came home and the father embraced him, put on the best robe, put a ring on his finger, gave him shoes to put on his feet, killed the fatted calf, and there was cause for celebration. The same happens when one comes back to the Lord. Don't delay. Don't waste time. Don't cause yourself any more unnecessary pain or heartache in your life by trying to live your life in your own way. Surrender to him. Make his desires your desires, so that you can equip yourself to fight off the attacks of the devil, that you won't fall for the devil's deception, and that the Lord will be able to use those gifts and talents that he's given to you for his glory. Let's just have a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you now for your goodness. We thank you for this time of sharing tonight. And I do pray, dear Father, that you would help us to right now just look in our hearts. And Lord, help us to see ourselves as you see us. We're just sinners saved by grace. Oh, the grace of God, that totally undeserved and unmerited love and favor of God. Father, we thank you for that grace. We thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you, Lord, that you never give up on us. We thank you, Lord, that whenever we call out to you for forgiveness, for repentance, that you're there with outstretched arms, ready to receive us, pick us up, brush us off, and to put us back on the right way. So, Father, help us tonight to see that there is a need to live a right life, to maintain a right relationship with you. Help us to see that if that relationship isn't maintained, then Father, as we're seeing tonight, there's no happiness, there's no satisfaction, there's just heartache, pain, suffering, worst case scenario, even death. Father, we thank you that we don't have to live that way. We thank you that you've given us your word. We thank you that you've instructed us through your word on how to live a righteous life that is counted worthy in your eyes. So, Father, give us a right heart. Give us desires, Lord, that are right desires. Give us a desire to fulfill that good and perfect will that you've given us, that you may be glorified in all things that we do and say. In Jesus' name, amen.